This is a... an epistle that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," Paul writes, "as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake." What a great passage of Scripture. May we bow our hearts unto the Lord. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God, because the Word of God is able to save any soul anywhere that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for the love of God in Christ, and for this opportunity to assemble on this beautiful Lord's Day to worship the God of heaven, who has provided salvation through your own Son, who took our place, paid our debt, that if we would believe in him who died on a cross and was raised the third day, we would have salvation, forgiveness of sins, and one day live in heaven for eternity. Lord, help this truth grasp our hearts today, that we all need salvation. We are all lost until we repent, that is, turn from our sin to Jesus and ask him to be our Savior, and then begin to love him and serve him. Have your way in our hearts. And I pray not only for this service, but wherever the people of God are gathered together, we pray you'd bless there. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. The Apostle Paul rejoiced, according to this scripture, that God had put him into the ministry. Let's reflect on Paul just a moment. He was known as Saul of Tarsus when we first see him in the scriptures. And he was a Jew that persecuted Christians. He hated Christians. He hated Jesus Christ. And it was his mission in life to persecute, to put in prison, or even put to death as many Christians as he could, because he hated Jesus. He hated Christians. One day on his way to Damascus, in what we know today as Syria, where all this fighting is going on, Paul was on his way there, as Saul. And on his way to persecute more Christians, Jesus met him on that Damascus road. And when Saul saw Jesus, he immediately repented and believed Christ as his Savior. His life was turned around just that quick. That's how effective the gospel is. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you'll become a new person. And your life will drastically change for your own good and the glory of God. So Paul was so glad that the Lord put him into the ministry to preach the gospel. And the gospel is concerning the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the message. It is the only message that will save us from our sin. Jesus Christ is the Savior. So Paul was letting this church at Corinth know that although he had had many struggles and hardships as a minister, he rejoiced that God put him into ministry. He enjoyed preaching. He enjoyed serving the Lord. And the struggles of the ministry and the hardships was not deterring him from preaching the gospel. You know, I can say truthfully today, I'm so glad God put me in the ministry. It's the thing I didn't want. It's probably the thing of all things I didn't want to be. But you know what? I can honestly say it's the best thing that happened to me as far as the gospel is concerned after salvation, when the Lord put me in the ministry to let me have a part in his work. It has been such a blessing to me. It's made me sit down and open up this book and start studying and finding out what God has to say to all of us. God loves all of us. God loves us all more than I am able to express to you how much you are loved by your Creator. And God has great plans for every one of you. If you accept his Son as your Savior. However, if you refuse to accept his Son, he's got some bad plans for you. I mean some awful bad plans. And so I want you to think about what you need today and what I need today. And it's the most important thing that any of us need today. It's salvation in Jesus Christ. He alone can save us from our sin and make us right with God, and even cause us to enjoy this life. He's the one that helps us enjoy this life, to get the best out of this life. So I'm glad that my God is rich in mercy, that he would take an ignorant, stubborn country boy and allow me to preach. Allow me to preach. That's God's mercy. And God, the Bible says, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Notice, God's love, he is rich in mercy. Rich. The psalmist said in Psalms 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Let me say this. Do you need some mercy today? The Lord has plenty of it. We just read in Ephesians 2:4 that he's rich in mercy. And his word tells us we can ask for mercy. Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. So if you need mercy, God has mercy for you if you'll just call on him. And we get the blessedness of mercy when we first repent of our sin, ask him to be our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, as believers in the Lord, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy. I got a light bill to pay this month in August. Amen? God has had mercy on us. God has did something since I've started trying to preach a little bit, something I never thought about in all my life. He gave us a radio ministry in April of 1972. We started off 5 days a week, and now it's expanded to 6 days a week on 7 stations and 2 local television stations. The radio and television ministry is actually through the internet going into 200 countries. And so it goes around the world. Anybody wants to catch it on the internet. So I just praise the Lord that he'd let a country preacher be able to preach his word and to make a way for us to do that. So rejoice in the Lord. In college, I had a class in the religions of the world. Boy, that's quite a study, all these different religions and what they believe. And by the way, I was watching something last night on TV as I flipped through the channels trying to find something decent to watch. I come across a channel that had religion on it. And they were talking about this new cathedral in Washington, D.C., that's just been built recently. I don't know where any of you heard about it or not. It costs $45.7 million. It'll hold 2,000 people. And they just give a little brief thing of some of their ceremonies and their rituals and all their outfits and carryings on in this extravagant place. But you know, this old book says that we're not to worship God with ceremonies and rituals. But they're so happy with a $45.7 million cathedral. By the way, it's paid for. They paid for it as they built it. A place of religion. Place of religion. Folks, you're going to have something besides religion to get God's help. You're going to have something besides religion. All the religions of the world, every religion you can think of says the same thing. Do, do, do. You got to do to be saved or to go to heaven. But that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is, it's been done. Jesus Christ has done it all. You don't have to do anything to go to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Is anything more exciting than that? Than to know you can go to heaven and you don't have to do anything? It's all been done already. Jesus Christ has already worked out our salvation. All you have to do is just accept him as your Savior. Can you get anything better than that? There's no tax on that, folks. Amen? It's all done. It's free. But you know what? People rather sin than be saved and go to heaven. People rather sin. You know what that's called in the Bible? Deceived. People that's deceived don't know they're deceived because they're deceived. See, the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, was deceived. He thought he was doing okay with his religion. And everybody's got a religion. Makes no difference what it is. They've still got their religion. I got my religion. I believe what I believe. That's a religion. Being saved is not a religion. Being saved is by the grace of God that he forgives me of all my sin and made me a new person so I would be fit to go to heaven. I can't go like I am. He had to change me. He had to change me, folks. I am to believe. I am to trust. And the only way I can come to Him is by faith. I must believe in Jesus. I must believe that He is, that He died on a cross for my sin, and that I must accept Him as my Savior. Today we need mercy. God has been merciful. God has loved us so much in allowing His only Son that He loved so much. He allowed Him to suffer like no other person has ever suffered in order for me to be saved. The Apostle Paul talks about in this passage I read about preaching the truth. It is my responsibility. It's every minister's responsibility. It's the Sunday school teacher's responsibility to teach and preach the truth. Whatever this says is what we're to preach. In 2 Corinthians 4:2, Paul said, I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. There's one thing about the Bible, folks. It is the word of God. The Bible is inerrant, infallible. It is the truth. Well, you might say, I don't believe it. Well, you didn't change it. It's still the truth. Amen? You can't change it. I would just read, Brother Che was challenged just to read Jeremiah. And I was reading in Jeremiah. And God told Jeremiah, write down all the prophecies you've made. And then go stand in the temple and read them. So Jeremiah got Baru, his assistant, to write it down as he told him. And when he got it written down, it was taken to the temple to be read, and they started reading it. And somebody said, we need to tell the king about this. And so they took it to the king. You know what the king did? Every time he read a little piece, he'd take a knife and cut it off, throw it in the fire. He'd read some more, he'd cut it off and throw it in the fire. The word of God now. He threw it all in the fire, burned it up. Do you think that got rid of the word of God? You know what God said? God said, Jeremiah, write it again, and I'm going to add some more to it. Amen? You can't change it. It's still true. It's God's precious word. Oh, what a word this is. And reading about how good God is and how much He loves people. If you want to see how much God loves people, read Jeremiah. He pleaded for them with them people for 125 years. You better repent. I'm going to judge you. They didn't repent. And you know what? Even Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even Ezekiel, these godliest of people, guess what happened to them? They were sent to Babylon, enslaved, where they died. God means business. Your sins you will pay for. You can't get by. Our country's not going to get by with killing all these 60 million babies in their mother's womb. We're not going to get by. It's coming. Donald Trump can't stop it. The Word of God. Paul recognized this, and this is what he preached. He did not add to it or take from it. Taken in its context, the Bible means what it says and says what it means. In John 17:17, Jesus Christ said in his prayer to the Father, sanctify them, that is my people, by thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus prayed. This book is true, folks. When Christ has saved us, we ought to be an example of the power of the gospel. Have you been saved? Then live like it, Paul said. The gospel changes life. If our life has not been changed, there's something wrong. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We become a new person when we get saved. Then we're to live like we're saved. And that's the problem with our country today. We've got too many in churches that's not living like they've been saved. Let's talk about holy ministers. The man who preaches the gospel should be a holy person, or the man that teaches the word of God. They should be a holy person, living for the Lord. Paul said that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He was a truthful minister. And this should be true of all of us Christians. As Christian men and women, we're supposed to be honest and truthful and not deceptive. The Apostle Paul knew of those who were not preaching the truth of God's Word. And we have a lot of that crowd around today. The Judaizers of Paul's day was trying to add the law to the gospel, that you got to keep part of the law in order to be saved. No, we don't have to keep any part of the law. We've been saved by faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Those who push religion, those who misrepresent the Word of God, we have them all around us today. If there's one thing about me I want to know, if I'm going to stand here, I want to know what's true. I want to know what's true. I've studied. I listened closely to preachers, and it don't take but about two sentences when I can tell whether he's right or wrong. Getting up and rattling off what I believe is not relevant if it's not what God's Word says. I have got to stand before God one day, and you have too. And the Lord is going to ask you, did you hear my minister, whoever that minister was, when he told you about my word? You got to answer. I've got to answer. I got to answer for what I'm telling you today, and for my attitude as to what I'm telling you today. We're all being scrutinized by God today, folks. All of us teachers and preachers better be careful in what we're telling people. I do not want to misinform anyone, and I'm not knowingly going to do it. Not knowingly. I'm not going to make the Word of God say what I want it to say to make my point. If the Bible says I've been saved forever, that's what I'm going to preach. And I'm not going to change my tune. And guess what? The Bible says I've been saved forever. Amen. 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 I'm not going to say if you are saved if you hold out. I'm not going to preach no such doctrine as that, that you're saved if you can hold out. We got a whole lot of that going on today. You got to hold out. Folks, you can't hold out 1 minute. The Bible says Jesus is one holding us. We're being kept by the power of God, Peter said. When I trusted Jesus Christ, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's not going to let you get away. He's going to salvage you. He wanted you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to say you got to be baptized to be saved to go to heaven. I'm not going to preach no such mess. It's being preached today. You got to be baptized to be saved. That's not what the Bible says. I'm not going to say you got to belong to my church or my denomination to be saved. That's being taught today. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen? See, God's made it easy for us, folks. But we better be at the right place at the right time to hear the right message, or you'll be messed up by the devil for sure. You really will. I must represent to the best of my ability the truth of God's Word. I must do that. Again, one day I must answer to my Lord and Savior how I have taught His Word. We as Christians and ministers are not to walk in hypocrisy either. If I stand here and act like I'm somebody holy, I better be holy when I'm walking down the street of Lumberton. Our behavior should not contradict that which we profess, and that's true. If you say you're a Christian, you better be a Christian walking down the street of Lumberton on Monday through Saturday. Amen? Does our conduct meet the approval of Jesus Christ who's examining us? He's constantly examining us. And just in case you happen to have forgotten, Jesus Christ, according to this book that I believe, is in the midst, and that would be right about the center there. So he's close to knowing what every one of y'all thinking. And he knows what you're believing too. We're not perfect, but we're to walk in a way that's well pleasing to the Lord. And the Bible says if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just. And you know what? I have to do that all day long. I don't know about y'all. I'm sensitive. I'm a sinful creature. I know my wonderful congregation is not like that, but your preacher is. No, I don't read dirty books and look at dirty movies. No! But I'm a sinful creature. Ministers and Christians can go to church on Sunday and sound and look like spiritual giants, but on Monday their talk and actions can be quite different. This is hypocrisy to the highest heaven. Personally, I want to preach with a clear conscience when I stand here. I don't want to be convicted. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 23. I'll give you an example. I'll let the Lord give you an example. I may have copied this down in the Living Bible. I'm not quite sure, but I think I did. But it's the same truth in your Bible is what I'm fixing to share with you. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders. And boy, I tell you what, he had something to say to this crowd. Beginning at verse 23 of chapter 23. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? He says, what sorrow is waiting for you preachers of religion. He said, you're hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. You're blind guides. You strain your water so you don't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy. Did Jesus tell it right? He knew those people, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean. In other words, as Christians, we got to be clean on the inside to be right on the outside. If we're not clean on the inside, we're not going to be right on the outside. Verse 27, for what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. This is what Jesus told the religious people. So you got to have something besides religion, folks, is the bottom line. You need Jesus Christ. He's the only one that gives life. Law don't give life. Christ gives life. Now, let me tell you why people are lost. Maybe you wonder, why are people lost? Paul tells us in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world or age has blinded the minds of them that believe not. If you're not saved today, you know why you're not saved? The devil's blinded you. He don't want to let you go. He's deceiving you with something. I don't know what it might be he's deceiving you with. But he's deceiving you with something. And he's suggesting to you, if you're not saved, well, you can do that later. Well, you don't know whether you're going to have a later or not. Back when I was going to church in Red Springs many, many years ago now, I had two young boys in the class that I was teaching. And I was talking to them about getting saved. But they didn't want to get saved today, maybe later. Well, before the next Sunday came, they had been in an accident. One would never go to church again. They put him in the graveyard. The other one was mentally incompetent from the damage he received. He had an opportunity to be saved. But no, we'll do it later. No, there's no later sometime. There's no later sometime. That happens more than you might think. Satan has his ministers out preaching a message that sounds good and appealing today. Well, I went to church today. Well, that's all right. You went to church, but what did you hear? What did you really hear? Hey, we had a good time today. Yeah, how many jokes was told? Was everything about something nice? Make you feel comfortable? It's not my desire to make people feel uncomfortable. That's not my intention. My intention is to tell you what this book says. That makes you uncomfortable. And God wants you to be uncomfortable to know you need to be saved so you'll be comfortable. It's amazing to me how I used to be afraid to go to church as a teenager because I knew that preacher was going to be looking at me. I was miserable. But you know what? When I got saved, I didn't have that problem anymore. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? When you get peace with God, everything's all right. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, Satan, he has his ministers preaching messages that sound so good and appealing. For example, God loves you, and he would not allow you to go to hell, some of Satan's ministers say. Satan's ministers say God will heal you if you got enough faith. Satan's ministers say you ought not to preach too hard about sin. You'll lose your congregation and they won't give you any money and you won't get a raise. That's what Satan ministers do. They preach something nice so no one gets offended. You know what's the matter? There's going to be a whole big happy family going to hell. Are y'all listening? Church is not where we come to have fun, folks. We come to church to learn how to live a life that pleases God, our Creator, that we all going to face one day. And we're everyone going to wish with all of our heart, I'd have done a better job. People are lost because they're spiritually blind. They don't understand how lost they are. They don't understand what's waiting for them should they quit breathing. You better not quit breathing if you're not saved. Because you can't come back. The only way for the spiritual blind to have their eyes open is to hear the gospel. You got to get under the sound of the gospel. You got to hear some preacher tell you you're lost. You're on your way to hell and you need Jesus Christ. And if you don't respond to the gospel, you will be lost forever. God gave man a will. And we must exercise this will. God's not going to force anybody to do anything. But God's going to cause you to realize you need to be saved. Then you can exercise your will to accept Christ or say no. God leaves it up to you. But he's going to make sure you've heard. He's going to make sure you heard. Because he don't want you to be lost. He made you for himself. God made you for himself. He wants you with him in heaven. He wants to love on you forever. Are you listening? Satan's going to do all he can to keep you or anyone else for putting your trust in Jesus Christ. Satan's got every angle you can think of and then some more. Satan is one who is using every means he can to keep people in his camp. He don't want to lose you. Now, if he loses you and you get saved, you know what he's going to do? He's going to attack you for getting saved. But he can't get you. He can't get you. He might aggravate us, but he can't get us. Amen? So let's don't forget the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to get saved. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As we think about who we are. As Christian people, men and women, boys and girls, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You Christians, you and I are laboring together. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The church of believers is God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master building, I have laid the foundation. What's the foundation? Jesus. Jesus is what we have to build our life on. Any other foundation will not work. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now that you've been saved, I want you to get this picture. Now that you're saved, listen to what he says. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Okay, let's say you're a Christian. Now, since you've been saved, how you been living? Because this is talking about one day at the judgment, the Lord's going to examine all of us Christians and see how we have lived since He saved us. What have you done for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? How committed? How clean is your life? What is your testimony? Are you really in love with the Lord? You know, a boy and a girl, they see each other and they go making eyes at one another, you know. You know what? They'll do anything for one another till they get married. You know what I'm saying? If you love the Lord, you will serve Him. If you love the Lord, you'll seek to please Him. The Bible says every person's work will be made manifest. Whatever you've done since you've been a Christian is going to be revealed at the judgment. How you used your talents, your resources, your time, all of that's going to be brought out. Even our intentions at the judgment. The Bible says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So we can, if we live right as Christians, that started the day we got saved, it's possible we could get a reward from the Lord. You see, the Lord, I've said many times, the Lord blesses us in this life. We get blessings in this life. But the Lord is going to reward us if we've earned it in the next life. Rewards come in the next life if we've earned it, folks. And that's important for us to realize. The Bible says, if any man's work which he had built their own, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. A Christian can live and his life works can be burned up at the judgment because he wasn't living for the Lord. But the Bible says he'll be saved. He'll be in heaven with no rewards. Nothing to show his love for the Savior that suffered and died for his salvation. How pitiful. How pitiful. In closing, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Oh, so many people in our country today are living for the things of this world. They're all going to pass away. Nobody's got a U-Haul trailer taking their goods with them. Jesus said, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves. For yourselves lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. It's time to take inventory. Do you really love the Lord? Are you holding out on the Lord? Are you giving the Lord all of you? And what about, is there someone here today that's never trusted the Lord? Never asked the Lord for salvation? The Lord stands at your heart right now. I know He does. He says He is. He's standing at your heart right now knocking. Say, why don't you let me come and bless you and save you as we stand together? What about you? You need Christ today? Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. You wandered away from the Lord? Today's the day to come back to the Lord, folks. The Bible says if we'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us, folks. I'm just telling you the simple, simple truth. You're so loved by God, but He will not take anyone to heaven against their will. Not a single person.